Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. On this podcast, our goal is just to simply show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we just hope that you're helped by this current series from the book of Joshua. What we've called it is Don't Be Afraid to Follow God. So let's just take a second, sit back, and hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, each one of you, to the podcast again today, the episode. Today, I'm excited about. Yesterday, I have Nathaniel with me again. Yesterday, we just didn't get too far. I think we covered three verses. So I don't know if that's because our conversations are more theologically rich.
That's got to be it.
That's got to be siblings.
Or no, we got to pick up the pace.
Or if we just kind of got sidetracked and talking about the sun and the moon. But it was to me refreshing to think about the fact that time is a gift from God, and God has given us the opportunity to serve Him, and we need to make the most of every second of every day. So a good takeaway. Today, we're going to do our best to get through the rest of chapter 10. I hope that some of you are following along actually in your Bible. I know that if you're commuting or exercising, that maybe you're not doing it that way, and that's fine. But maybe some of you have a notebook out. Maybe some of you are following this in the text of your Bible, and that's profitable as well. I have found in my own life that when I can introduce multiple senses to learning, I get more out of it. So if I'm seeing it, if I'm hearing it, and even beyond that, which is why I know Nathaniel, you and I have been to Israel several times together, just experiencing it. The height, standing there, feeling it, that's part of it too.
Right, absolutely. Earlier I wasn't there for the podcast, but I believe you recorded with Caleb talking about Jericho. And you picture Jericho because you have in your mind a certain sense of what it looked like and when you try to picture the biblical story, but actually standing there in Jericho and seeing the ruins of the city, you get a sense for the size and you're struck with, oh, this is about 10 to 12 acres of land. It's not what I always envisioned. However, it gives you a much greater appreciation when you can read the account in the Bible and then attach that with, wow, here I am. And it just brings a greater appreciation to the stories that you read in the Bible.
Yeah, it really does. And like today, for instance, in Joshua chapter 10, we'll be talking about Joshua mopping up the battle. So the battle we've talked about for the last couple episodes where he's helping out the Gibeonites and he rescued them, but he's chasing the kings and he's asking for God to give him more time. That's all happening right now. If you take the Bible, and I would encourage some of you to do this, and take the locations that we'll mention today in the episode and push pin them on a map, what you're going to find is that Joshua's plan was very strategic. The valley of Ajalon and running down through that valley. And the key cities that are mentioned in Joshua chapter 10 really were the cities that guarded the highlands. So as people would come in from the coast, the Philistines, for instance, years later against David and when Saul, really that era, these were key fortified cities. Last episode, we mentioned the city Azekah. That's where the Valley of Elah is. That's where the Israelites were encamped for the battle where David and Goliath. But Azekah was a very strategic city. And we'll read about some of those other cities in the text today. Let me just go ahead and get started here with where we are in the Bible. Verse 15 of chapter 10, Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makkedah. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave at Makkedah. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave and set men by it for to keep them. So think about it. The five kings that had started the whole mess, that were the enemies. Now the report comes to Joshua to say, hey, we got them. We've got the kings. And remember, in the Bible, A battle was complete, a war was won when the enemy leader was summarily executed, was brought publicly before the people to say, he represents that kingdom, he represents that authority, we win. And I find it interesting that Joshua did not immediately take credit or try to garner the glory for this victory. He said, I want you just to kind of keep them there for now. Put stones over the mouth of the cave. We'll deal with them, but not yet. What do you see in that?
As I read this passage, what stands out to me is, I think Joshua is presented with a shortcut of sorts, that here is a way that I can justify winning without doing what God told me I need to do. I know my job is to thoroughly wipe out this enemy force, but wow, if I kill these kings, I can claim victory. The enemies have fled from the field. Technically, I win, but it's not complete obedience. And I think in our life, whether it's spiritually or just practically, things that we're working towards, we know what it's going to take to fully complete this task, this job. And sometimes there might be a shortcut that presents itself and a way that we can justify saying that we did what we're supposed to do when in our hearts we know we didn't fully complete the task to the extent that we should have. What else do you see in this passage with the five kings and
no, I mean, like, just to follow up what you just said, which I thought was excellent. And now my mind went back to college, you know, and in college, I just wanted to get done. You know, I wanted that piece of paper. I wanted that diploma. I wanted that degree. And if we're not careful, if we make it about the recognition or the position or the degree, then we will shortcut. Maybe we're not doing all the outside reading as carefully as we should, or getting all that we could get out of that course, because we really aren't looking for the learning. We're not looking for the accomplishment as much as we're looking for the recognition for the accomplishment. And I think that's what Joshua did here, because he actually says in verse 19, stay ye not, speaking to his army, but pursue after your enemies and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath entered the, hath delivered them into your hand. So he said to his people, victory is not this pomp and circumstance of feeling good about bringing these kings out and showing, hey, we win, you know, we did this. But victory is in the less spectacular running, chasing, finishing, details, all of that. And so often in life, victory, success is in the details and in what's not seen. And I find that here in our passage. So we don't have time to read the whole passage, obviously. So they keep the kings in the cave. Joshua says to his army, job's not done. We're going to finish the job, chase the army, make sure that we're mopping up the battle. He gets all that done. Meanwhile, those five kings are back in the cave. So now let's fast forward to the battle has been won. There's still stuff to do, but the battle with the five kings and their respective armies, that has been won essentially now. So now those five kings are holding in the cave. And the Bible says in verse 22, Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave, bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And here are the verses, and I'm going to read them, Nathaniel, and I want your thoughts on these. And they did so and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave. Here they are, king of Jerusalem, king of Hebron, king of Jarmuth, king of Lachish, king of Eglon. These were extremely important strategic cities. I mean, obviously, we recognize Jerusalem immediately. And Jerusalem, even though the army had been destroyed now and the king was about to be executed, Jerusalem retained its integrity. that Joshua never did take Jerusalem. It took David years later to take Jerusalem. Here's what it says in verse 24. And it came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war. So basically his leadership, he brought them out and he said, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. Now, I know to our Western modern sensibilities, that's pretty, wow, that's raw. And they came near, they put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, to the captains, fear not, nor be dismayed, be strong and of a good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. So what do you think?
So when I first read that passage, I think the thing that stood out to me is so many times already in Joshua, God has told Joshua specifically, I will give you the victory. I will be with you. Don't fear. And so they've won the battle. God has kept his promise. And I think Joshua recognizes this as an opportunity to reiterate to his people, listen, God keeps his promises. He told us we were going to win this battle. Look, these kings have now been defeated. The battle is now over. Remember, as we go forward in this campaign, God is going to continue to fight for us. And he really wanted to etch that moment in the people's minds.
Don't be afraid to follow God. Guys, that's been the theme of our entire study of the book of Joshua. We started there. We reiterated that. We didn't even have to reiterate it because the Bible itself reiterates it. And Nathaniel, I love how you just said it. And that is, we've got to capture the victories that God gives us, and especially the lessons that are inherent in those victories. So, hey, exactly that. God told us something. We obeyed God. It worked out. God's word is true. Don't fear. Don't be dismayed. Be strong. Be of a good courage. It's so interesting how God said that to Joshua first. The Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they reiterated that to their leader. Sometimes it's encouraging for a follower to say to a leader, hey, you know, we're with you. Don't be afraid. Trust God. Sometimes that's good. Even a teenager can say that to a dad. Even a church member can say that to a pastor. That's not bad to do. But then as leaders, how much more important is it for us to look at those that are following us, like these captains, and to encourage them, don't be afraid. I hear the Apostle Paul saying to Timothy, don't be afraid. Timothy, I know I'm in prison. I know that you're thinking, what's going to happen to me? I know that you're tempted to be ashamed even of the testimony of the Lord, but God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, of a sound mind. So right back to our theme, don't be afraid to follow God. Kind of interesting that he would say that at the end of the battle. Why do you think that? Nathaniel's giving me that look like, why did you just ask me that question?
I think live? You need to cut this part out of the podcast.
Now, yeah, my thought is this. It's as important to remind ourselves of incentives at the end as it is at the beginning, because there's never really an end to battles. So every battle itself becomes a precursor to the next battle. And indeed, that's what we find in Joshua chapter 10, because in Joshua 10, when he tells them to fear not, you know, they take care of those kings. They execute them. This is wartime. I mean, this is raw. But then the Bible teaches that for the next 15 verses or so, they go back on the battlefield. And you know what they do? They secure the entire southern area of the promised land. All the strategic cities, and you'll read about it. I would encourage you to take time and read it. All those cities, Joshua. So it's almost as if they've chased at armies now that are outside of their city. Now they're attacking cities, strongholds. It's almost as if their strength, their faith is strengthening. Their resolve is becoming greater. Their confidence in God is mushrooming. It's all great. So by the end of the chapter, the victory has been won in the South. All of those strategic places have been taken. There are some exceptions like Jerusalem, but I'm telling you, it's an amazing romp around the southern part of the Promised Land. I'm going to end with this verse, Nathaniel, because the Bible says in verse 42, the second to the last verse in the chapter, and all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time. This was one big battle. And remember, it was a battle that Joshua didn't even initially plan. He was reacting to a cry for help. And yet by the end of the chapter, God had used that little cry for help to mushroom into the occupation of the entire South. And here's the part I really want you to get in closing, because it says that the last part of verse 42, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. Interesting that the credit goes back to God. Did they carry swords? Yes. Did they carry bows and arrows? Absolutely. Did they run? Did they fight? Did they risk their lives? Of course, all of that is true. But at the end of the day, it's God that did it. God gave them the strength. God gave them the direction. God gave them protection. God gave the victory. And how true is that in our own lives?
Absolutely.
You know, we work for God. We labor for God. At the end of the day, as the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, it's by the grace of God that we are who we are. So fight hard today. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what your job is. I don't know if this is your day off, but whatever you're doing today, give it all you've got. Give it all you've got. Work hard, but then understand at the end of the day, God, thank you. It was your strength. It was your grace. It was your protection. It was all about you. Hope you have a great tomorrow. Thanks for joining us on this episode. We look forward to next time.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.